Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's 49.
Episode 49.
Yeah. Sounds a bit Irish when you say 49.
It's 49. I was trying out my Bristol the other day.
It's pretty good.
Do you think it's all right? You don't get too farmery because...
They're not too farmery in the town.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's in order to replace my London Italian... Because I've already mastered that one, so now I'm trying to do West Country, because I did grow up there for a little while, a couple of years, just to do A levels in Bath. That's good.
Bath. You got that perfect. Yeah, thanks. I'd say that's pretty. That's should be on your CV or whatever.
You reckon?
Yeah.
They won't say reckon. You reckon?
You reckon?
No, reckon. There's always some trouble words, isn't there? Yeah, so I'll be doing this podcast in a sort of bad Bristol accent.
Phil is auditioning to be the next star of that West Country historical drama. What was it called?
Paul Dark.
Paul Dark, that's right, yeah. Johnny Sixpacks.
Yeah.
Where it was like, imagine a man who's both Cornish and has a six-pack, but doesn't speak like he's Cornish. And it's like every woman's dream.
Yeah, also,
he waded in and out of the sea a lot as well, which is like a Mr. Darcy thing, isn't it? In and out of the pond.
Yeah. I hate seeing six-packs back in those days, because I swear six-packs weren't technically possible back then. Because like he has the body of someone who goes to the gym, and a modern gym.
If you had a six-pack, it would be because like you're strong, but also you don't have any body fat. You're
starving,
skinny.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, do you know what they had in the olden days? Like a real excess of protein. Like they had so much spare meat lying around. I remember reading some description, maybe it was Orwell with A Road to Wigan Pier or something. He's talking about the miners.
Yeah.
And how the miners are like, as a group, are sort of denigrated as these kind of dirty, coal-smeared, you know, working men. But they're sort of... They have like classical Greek musculature, he was saying. Like, isn't it funny that we don't admire how incredibly how fit these lads are?
So I guess his bodies did exist.
Yeah, but like I say, it wasn't in the way that Schwarzenegger might have a six pack. The six pack could be there, but the rest of the body would be that kind of lean, rangy muscle that you get on rock climbers.
Yes, sure.
None of this like bicep. Your bicep's not that useful.
No, we hardly ever do anything with the bicep.
Natural strength, like you see those guys who are like rock climbers or whatever, their biceps are just like, they're there, but they're not, you know, like 1980s, you know.
I wonder how the bicep became like the go-to show-off muscle.
I think
just because the action looks good.
Yeah, and I think it's bodybuilding. Like it's just the cultural influence of actual bodybuilding contests. Because like that's one of the main flexes. Because you know they have to do set poses.
That's right, yeah.
And Popeye as well, probably.
Mm.
God, there's a lot to blame Popeye for. Yes. Do you still do that routine?
Yeah, I still close the show.
Yes, yes. Go see Phil on tour, everyone, if you want to see Phil's Popeye routine. Where can people find your tour dates?
On philwang.co.uk, of course.
On philwang.co.uk.
Because I'm a patriot.
I've got a .com.
Well, good for you.
And I think .co.uk redirects to it, or it should do. Yeah, I know.
What was I going to say? Yes, the Popeye routine is I like doing it, but for months I was saying Popeye until I was corrected on it by a friend to Popeye.
What?
Popeye. I was saying Popeye.
With an A?
Yeah.
Did you think it was spelled with an A?
No, I knew it was spelled Popeye, but
you were just saying
I called him Popeye my entire life.
Popeye. Popeye.
Because that's how he says it. I'm Popeye,
Popeye.
But I guess he's actually going Popeye.
He's American, yeah. Pap.
But then if he's American, isn't that the correct pronunciation? Aren't you supposed to pronounce things the way the the members of the community pronounce it?
Oh, man. I would love to see a big, like, very sensitive cultural appropriation argument about Popeye.
Yeah.
And what to do about Popeye.
And how it actually is, yeah, it appropriates,
like, maritime culture.
Mid-19th century sailor culture. When is he from?
When is he from? I'd say, like, 20s?
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes there's maybe a... Is there sometimes a radio? It's not like a gramophone. Maybe there's an old radio.
Yeah.
20s and 30s, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, sure.
It's interesting how imagery in cartoons is always slightly out of date to make sure that everyone knows what it's supposed to be.
What do you mean?
Well, you can't have, like... when you're trying to depict something in a cartoon, it has to be understood by everyone without it being pointed out. Especially if the cartoons don't have any audio.
Okay.
So if you like in the 1940s when they're doing cartoons, they're like, well, what kind of radio are we going to draw? It's like, well, let's not draw a new radio. Like as new as they could look in the 40s. They draw those wooden ones that are shaped like an archway.
Yeah.
Because otherwise half the population who are old or older than that type of radio don't know that new one's come out. That's like a box shape. I'm just like, well, what's that supposed to be? You go for like that. Like no one uses sticks of dynamite, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but it's just so much more dramatic.
A bomb with a big clock on it.
Yeah.
As opposed to a C4 with a remote. like in a video game. Yeah.
Have you seen the Popeye movie with Robbie Williams? Robin Williams.
Robbie Williams? He sings Millennium. Yeah. I have not seen it. I have...
No one's seen it. I watched it as a kid a bunch of times.
I've seen bits of it. I caught part of it on TV once, and I remember finding it amazing that no one had told me that this thing existed.
Yeah.
And then I never saw it on TV ever again.
It's surely like a kid's ultimate dream.
Yeah.
Robin Williams playing Popeye. But yeah. It's quite disturbing. So the makeup on him.
They made him all lumpy. Popeye. Yeah, he's and deformed.
And, it's
like Dick Tracy.
Creepy. I don't know. Yeah.
A lot of the cartoon characters in the Dick Tracy comics have like giant, lumpy, weird shaped heads. And when they made the movie, they had to do prosthetics that made them all look like that.
Ew.
So they have these like horrible David Lynch heads.
Yeah.
It's horrible, yeah. I do remember finding it visually quite disturbing. I think Peter Sellers was supposed to be involved in that. I think they filmed it all in Crete, and there's some anecdote about Peter Sellers going and being a cunt on set.
It's filmed in Malta.
Malta,
and
that's
we,
right.
We went. I was on holiday with my family in Malta, and we took a little boat around the island, and we were taken to the Popeye village. It's still there. The set they built to be Popeye's
amazing
little port town is still there. That's how little's going on in Malta. They take over a bit of coast and build a town there. And go, we can just leave it. We don't need this for anything else.
Whatever.
We can just leave it as a Popeye.
As a Popeye village. I remember going in, we were in Tenerife or Gran Canaria or something.
Lovely.
When I was young. And I remember going to they'd built a whole fake Western town for filming cowboy movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then it had become, they'd turned it into like a sort of mini theme park, I think.
Yeah, that's what they'd done in Popeye village.
But it was all like a wooden, like a cowboy street. It was all like wooden decking and, yeah, crazy.
I couldn't believe where the Canary Islands were when I found out last year.
So far away.
They're Africa.
Yeah. Oh, they're so far away. They're like, what are they closest to? Gold Coast, maybe?
But
Equatorial Guinea?
Are they? No, they're just off the west coast of Morocco, which isn't too far south.
They're further south than that, aren't they?
Really?
I think they're
just a bit southwest of Morocco.
Oh, wait, am I thinking of that other group of islands? What's that other one called? It's not as far south as Cape Verde.
Cape Verde.
Cape Verde.
The fresh cap.
The fresh
cap. That's when you buy a new baseball cap. I got a Cape Verde.
Or green.
Or green. I was thinking Verde's fresh.
What? Verdant.
Verdant.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ah, language.
Enough of this flotsam.
What about the Jetsam? I love the Jetsams.
That's
another great cartoon.
Bunch of talking pieces of driftwood.
George Jetsam. Anyway.
We're going to have another correspondent special. We're getting closer, fellas and gals, and everything else.
Down in the content mines.
Yeah.
Working away like little beavers. So enjoy.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls,
talking
correspondence.
Would you like to correspond with me?
Yes, I would. Diddly dee.
Yes, that's nice. It's a nice song.
We're thinking about writing a new correspondence jingle. That's a
That's a work in progress. That's a work in progress. And the part of the audience, you listeners, was played there by Phil, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Also, I was playing myself because I do want to hear it.
Yeah. Alfie got in touch and sent us what appears to be a wonderful list of tats. But it's just come up as image JPEG, image JPEG, image JPEG on his email, Alfie. And this was a while ago now, so you might have lost the images. But he says, but thank you for your attempt. And he says, surely the god of all tat is the fridge magnet or tea towel or apron that says, I like to cook with wine. Sometimes I even put it in the food.
Yes. Oh. I love it.
You'd actually genuinely enjoy that tat.
I would enjoy that. That'd be good tat.
That would be good. That's good wang tat.
Good wang tat.
That does sound like a name.
Wang Tat.
Good Wang Tat.
Good Wang Tat.
But yeah. I don't know of what particular culture, because it's got a hard...
Good Wang Tat. It sounds Cambodian to me.
Because it's got a hard D at the end of good that you wouldn't find...
Good Wang, Wang Tat.
Good
yeah.
Wang. Good
yeah,
Wang.
Yeah. It reminds me of Angkor Wat. I think that's why
he's
Cambodian.
And the good bit is like Gurdwara, like the Sikh temple. So it's definitely... Right. That's pulling it more southwest, isn't it?
Yeah, good Wang Tat killed a lot of intellectuals.
If you wore glasses around Good Wang Tat, he would shoot you in the face. Aaron gets in touch.
Aaron!
It's been ages since I encountered an Aaron.
With those two A's. Leave some A's for the rest of us, Aarons.
hello, Poo Poo Pals. Yep, fair enough.
I like Poo Poo Pals.
Yep. I went to Norway a few years ago after wanting to visit for many years. I didn't say why, but fair enough.
Okay.
Due to the high price of staying in a city like Oslo, I had no choice but to go for the cheapest option available to me when booking my accommodation, an 8-man shared dormitory on the outskirts of the city.
Wow.
8 of your finest men. Find me 8 strapping men for this dormitory. Despite having to sleep on a top bunk above a man who loved to thrash about in his sleep.
Just loved it.
He's just
smiling as he does it.
He's sighing with relaxation as his limbs pump wildly around the room. At high levels of snoring through the night, it wasn't too bad. But being a bit of an introvert, I'd wake up early, shower, and head to the local cafe for a coffee and a poo in relative privacy. Smart man. One day, sticking to the same routine, I headed to the cafe to have a couple of coffees, a ham and cheese panini, and prepare for that first glorious poo of the day. I'd cycled a long way the day before, finding myself in a small town outside of Oslo with only one supermarket, where the only thing I could afford in any abundance was a very large bag of cooked chicken wings. In one of those, like...
Loose in a bag.
But one of those really, like, thick plastic bags that they have in the hot food section, you
know? Yeah.
Where you go, wow, this plastic's thick, and the meat inside is visibly sweaty. So he ate a bunch of sweaty chicken wings, a very large bag, which I ate throughout the day to keep me going. Like the way an adventurer would eat. Bird flesh, yes, in this sack. Very Viking.
Just flinging it over his shoulder, walking down the road.
Grateful hounds skittering behind him. having not released my brown valve since the same time the day before. Since the same time the day before, I knew I would take my time with this one and savor it before another big day in this new city. The toilet in the cafe was large and open at around 8 foot by 8 foot, hidden away from the counter and other customers in the corner of the room. The toilet itself was on a raised platform, like a king. Like a king's toilet. Oh, he already says that later. Sorry for joke pooping you there, Aaron. So you'd have to take a step up to sit on the toilet and then be elevated above everything else in the room, like a medieval king. Yes. A truly palatial place to start your day. Once in place, I began reading through my phone and essentially really taking my time. Because of how weird my diet had been in Oslo, effectively just chicken wings, hot dogs, supermarket beer and water, it was incredibly smelly. It's very honest of you. This didn't bother me. I was, after all, the toilet king. Fair enough. At this point, I'd been in the toilet for around 10 minutes and had effectively just zoned out. Such was my comfort in my throne room. No sooner had I let my guard down, however, the door, which was directly in front of me, about 6 foot away and clearly not locked properly, began to open. At first it creaked slightly ajar, and then began to swing open with more and more speed. Panicked, I had no idea what to do. The door was too far away to block it with my foot, and with my mind muddied by this sudden intrusion, it didn't even cross my mind to try and pull my trousers up, so I just sat there. When the door was fully open, a pram with a toddler about 2 or 3 years old was slid in, with a Norwegian dad behind it. He hadn't seen me, dragging in a large bag behind him with his other hand, and he was clearly exasperated in a way that only a dad left alone with his offspring can be. The child, however, had locked eyes with me and was slid in closer and closer, eventually knocking into the step beneath me and now sitting only about a foot away, peering up from between my legs. Just, oh God. This had all happened in under 10 seconds, and my levels of anxiety had skyrocketed accordingly, taking fast, sharp breaths as a panic attack manifested itself. He's an introvert, remember?
Of course.
Oh my God. The dad had finally wrestled the bag past the door and shut and locked it behind him.
Wow.
So this guy hasn't turned around at
wow.
all.
Wow, that is an incredible commitment to looking behind you.
Yeah, this guy does not want to look ahead of himself now that he's pretty sure the toilet's empty. He let out a deep sigh and turned to change his child, but was instead greeted by an Englishman in his late 20s, trousers around his ankles, panting heavily and sitting on an elevated toilet throne. On a toilet throne, staring at his child. I looked up at the father, and he looked back at me open-mouthed. We stayed like this for about 5 seconds, bewildered in complete silence, until he said something in Norwegian along the lines of, "Oh, grusen tak, Oh, thank you very much. I think it means grusen tak. Grusen tak. Tak is thank you.
Oh, okay.
Grusen must be like grosse.
Maybe he said, okay, thank you.
It must be okay, thank you. And rushed himself and his almost certainly scarred child out of the toilet, leaving me sitting there like some sort of defeated poo king on my throne. I cleaned up, took a long look in the mirror, and went to leave. Thankfully, as I exited, the man was nowhere to be seen, or so I thought. As I headed for the exit, I spotted him and his child sitting at a table, still waiting. Our eyes locked, and he looked at me in a way that said he knew that what he'd seen was incredibly funny, but with a cold undertone that only people who have gone through something traumatic together can share. Good work. Keep up the good work, Koji. Aaron, a Norway pooper and founding father.
Wow, founding father. Thanks so much, Aaron. That's a great pooping story.
This the dread of the child being like unable to say anything as your own dad blindly pushes you towards a shitting man.
Like alien just coming closer and closer to your face.
Yeah,
slobbering.
You're on some sort of automated treadmill and you can't. It's just pushing you towards danger.
Imagine from the baby's perspective, just a door opening, seeing a throned, trouserless man,
yeah,
and being pushed slowly and slower and slower towards him.
No, like James Bond with the laser going up the table.
But why didn't Aaron say anything? Couldn't he be like, that's my go-to. Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry, hello.
Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I just go for oh, sorry.
Whoop.
Yeah. Whoop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's the noise of don't look at me shitting. Whoop.
Whoop.
Sometimes if they are, if I decide that they've made the mistake, like I've tried to do, I've done all the warnings and they're still just trying to like come in, right? They're still, it's still opening.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, now it's your fault.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll just look at them.
Yeah. You just get up and turn over and just bear your asshole to them. This is what you want.
They come in. I just look at them with an expression that says, what can I do for you?
Hello, can I help you?
Excuse me.
I just sit there with my head cocked and like an eyebrow raised, like The Rock. That's when they turn around.
I don't even look up from my paper. I let them close the door and lock it.
Half moon glasses.
What can I do for you?
Yes, hello, just looking over the glasses. What is it?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
With a long S. Yes.
Big eyes and long S.
Yeah, widen your eyes. Yes. What is it? Yes. Oh, sorry, I thought this was empty. Well, it isn't. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Klosh.
Oh, God.
Kusklosh.
Kusklosh.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mary gets in touch.
Mary, quite... Larry.
Maybe Larry Mary is quite good.
Larry Mary is good, if she doesn't know, I doubt.
Larry Mary is a good nickname for like a gruff, tough lady who runs a pub in a Victorian drama.
Nice, yeah.
Like, oh, you don't want to tangle with Larry Mary. She runs that bar of hers with an iron fist. Like that.
And then the door opens and she goes, get out! And she throws out a ruffian.
Yeah, by holding his collar and his belt.
Yeah. And the main character, the protagonist, is like, I guess that's her.
Yeah. I think we've met Larry Murray. And always red hair.
Yeah.
Always red hair.
Anyone.
Her fierce temper.
Anyone in olden days who had any courage at all, if they were a woman, had to have red hair.
Yes, always. It's like, a very timid woman who's a very sort of mousy and shy and a nice wife, brown.
Yep.
Scary goth woman in old literature, black.
Black
hair, or sort of sad as well.
Yeah. Innocent.
Yeah,
and
naive, kidnapped.
Engaged to 8 people at once. Yeah, liable to be kidnapped.
Yeah.
She's blonde.
Very dreamlike.
Yeah.
Always is too into a hobby.
Sits in a field a lot.
Yes. Flowers happen.
Yeah.
There's poetry.
Flowers happen.
There's weaving.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
right.
Blonde.
So, Mary, we're assuming you have red hair and you're a tough but fair mistress of a Victorian pub. Hi, bud boys. Usually I just tag you on Instagram, but I found so much tat on this one shop alone, I had to email it. Otherwise, my story looks insane. Or like I actually like this stuff. Which is a risk.
Yeah, that's the danger. That's the risk, isn't it?
Although I will say, ever since I tweeted about one of our last episodes being Aquariuses.
Yeah.
I'm being suggested astrology shit left, right, and center.
Well, on the ads. Oh.
On Twitter as well, but yeah. Like, accounts to follow as well.
Oh, God.
Like there's people out there with... I didn't even... Of course, like, now that I know this, it makes sense. But there's people out there with Twitter accounts that are just for astrology. Like, they're saying, like, hi, I'm Bill. I'm the astrologer. I put my wisdom of the moon and stars here on Twitter so you can read it. Which is, I've got balls, but that's real balls. Just to start a Twitter account and go run your life based on this fucking stuff.
The absolute audacity to promote that sort of thing on a technology that would never have been achieved had people believed
it. People stuck with it.
Stuck with your beliefs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you'd had it your way, we wouldn't have any of this.
Yeah,
you don't have electricity
much.
Or the internet.
Yeah.
And now you're using it to sell what could have destroyed us.
It's the ultimate victory of capitalism.
For shame. Late stage capitalism.
Late stage.
What do people mean when they talk about late stage capitalism? As in now?
I actually looked that up the other day because I was like, wow, people sure are throwing this word around in tweets a lot.
Mm.
I want to be cool and use it too. And it was even, I found out that like the first time someone started talking about late stage capitalism was I think in the 30s.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, it's been
late.
It's been late for a while now.
Yeah, okay.
But basically everyone was like, wow, look at the 30s. It's all the depression, you know, chaos. It's got to be late stage. So by the 50s, it's going to be smooth sailing, lads.
Oh, is the idea that it'll be over soon?
Yeah, of course, everyone will just naturally become socialists or whatever.
That's interesting.
And that's been said... From what I can tell, for coming up to 100 years now.
So the repetition, the reemergence of the term late stage capitalism just goes to show that
whenever shit goes funky,
yeah,
everyone just goes there you go, it's going. Okay, next time. Oh well. So one of the bits of tat here, Phil, is a thing that says "My Life," colon.
Okay.
My life, little colon there, and then it has a loading bar. And it says loading, and it's only part loaded.
Ah.
Tech tat.
That's cute.
Tech tag.
What is that on? Is on a sign or something?
Appears to be on some sort of card. Not quite sure. Hang on, this one's not loading very easily. Why is this not loading?
My life loading. What does that exactly mean?
Like, oh, I'm on my way. My life isn't ready
but
yet.
But they seem to have just sort of amalgamated two video game terminologies. So, like, life, as in how many lives you have left, and load a loading bar. But they rarely have anything to do with each other.
Maybe it's like a... For birthdays? Is it a birthday card?
Okay. Oh, I quite like that.
Only if it's a birthday card.
But then isn't the implication there that your life is complete once you're dead?
Yes, and also
I guess that's true. Your life is complete once you're dead. Also, but though your life is starting when
you're aiming
dead.
At it. Yeah, it's a very... It could subtly be a very Christian message, couldn't it?
Ah, of course. Christian tat.
Christ tat? Chat. What would you call that? Theotetracy.
Hang on.
My email client is being a fucking twat, so it's not letting me load this stuff. This woman is strong, powerful, confident, fearless, bold, beautiful, inspirational, independent, all of the above. And there's a tick boxes next to them.
Oh, God.
So but you just tick.
Is that that's a notebook. It looks like it's on a notebook.
It looks like a notebook. And you're supposed to tick all of the above, probably.
Imagine you get it and you treat it really seriously and you like go down the checklist. Yeah, can I tick? Strong.
And you go, strong, yeah, okay, powerful. That seems very similar to strong. confident and fearless and bold, they seem quite similar.
It'd be really funny, her hands sort of quivering over the confident box.
Yeah, and then going, I couldn't possibly.
Or maybe, no.
It'd be really depressing to see someone's cover of that notebook with like all of it ticked apart from all of the above and beautiful. You'd be like, oh, come on, mate, fucking hell. You'd be like, that's the most depressing. You can't tick all this other shit and not tick that one. You know, you've got to go for the all of the above, don't you? You have no choice but to be empowered when it comes to that notebook cover.
Yeah.
Today's forecast, 100% chance of winning.
Oh, no! That's horrible. I hate that one. I think that might be one of the worst. 100% chance of winning.
Yeah. And there's a picture of a rainbow.
What if you have a really bad day? Because you will have a bad day, and you go look at that card, and you go, "I defied the odds today to lose. I had 100% chance of winning, and I still
fucked it up. God, I'm a piece of shit. Oh God, yeah. And you just go, oh, it looks like now today's got 100% chance of me walking into the sea if I can fuck that up. And then the last piece of tat is a." But it says in it's sort of embossed big letters, boss. And underneath it says equals. So we're being told what boss equals now.
Okay.
What do you think it stands for?
Oh, so it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Boss equals being being occasionally sassy. Stupid.
No, it's worse than that. It's a based on self-success.
What?
It's one of those things where, like, you know how, especially on, like, LinkedIn, people obsessively try to justify where they are in life. Like, they try and justify it based on who they are.
Okay.
So it's like that.
Right.
If I'm the boss, that's because it's based on self-success, yeah? I got me here, yeah?
Yeah.
I climbed that greasy ladder.
Based on self-success. Based so that's on what self-success means. Self-success is such an ambiguous
self-success.
Term. Self-success.
It's a very old-fashioned way of talking about masturbating.
Yeah,
I had a self-success last night.
Only if you masturbate to completion. success!
Eureka! Yeah, that's pretty gross tat, hey?
That is gross tat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mary. Good luck with... dealing with those ruffians in your pub we've made up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope you fix that banister that people keep getting thrown through.
Stop buying chandeliers.
Yeah.
They only it's get torn
obviously
down.
Obviously not the place for it.
Yeah. They always land on a game of cards and startle all the people sat there smoking. Stop doing that. Hannah gets in touch.
Hannah, throwing a spanner in the works.
And she's sending us some tat from the Nottingham Christmas Fair or something.
Oh, fantastic.
And it says, it's a big sign that says, bitch. Right? That's the first thing the sign says is, bitch. But underneath, it turns out, Phil, That bitch stands for something.
Oh, God, we've got another one.
Yeah.
Okay, bitch stands for...
Bitch in big letters.
Big ovulating. Oh, no, I'm still on boss.
Botch.
My head's still on boss. Okay, because it's a B again. Bitch. Big, incredible.
Right.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Cathartic heroin.
Like, you've done a thing where the list of words starts with big, but then it contains a word as complex as cathartic. I'll have you know, Phil, that bitch stands for beautiful,
no,
intelligent,
yeah,
talented,
okay,
charming,
wow,
happy.
Okay.
Happy.
Happy.
What I like is that beautiful, intelligent, talented, and charming are qualities, and happy is a mood. So if you are not happy, then you're not a bitch.
Unless there's...
You're a bitch.
What if there's a comma before the H and a question mark after the H? So it's beautiful, intelligent, talented, charming. Happy?
Happy?
Huh? Is that enough for you?
Actually, yeah, if they put a question mark. Yeah, happy?
Happy? You happy with that?
Yeah, you happy with this bitch now, are you? P.S. says Hannah, I also played Detective Barbie. Spoiler alert, there was definitely a part where you had to bust someone out of a crate with a crowbar.
Wow.
According to Hannah.
Gosh, because we found out there were three Detective Barbies, were there? Detective Barbie the second.
There were three.
I don't know if that was the one with the crate in it.
The subject line of Hannah's email was bitch tats, which is very funny.
That's good.
Bitch I like tats. That a lot. Someone out of a crate with a crowbar. Does that sound right? That sounds quite extreme. Ken's body.
Put him in there.
Ken's corpse. It's been boxed up and ready for shipping. Right, come on, Google.
Ken, the original cuck, right?
Is he a cuck or is he a sex idiot?
What's a sex idiot?
It's from...
A sex idiot.
What's the show? Oh, God. With like... It's set in Rockefeller Plaza at NBC.
30 Rock.
30 Rock. God, of course. 30 Rock. Liz Lemon gets a sex idiot at some point. He's like a really fit dude. He's a fucking idiot.
Oh, okay. And she calls him a sex idiot?
I think so.
Okay.
Or like... what's the blonde character's name again? Lady... The vacuous lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, that's a sex idiot. I think she explains the whole idea to her.
I need to watch all that again.
Yeah, me too.
That's one of those shows I absolutely love, but I'm not entirely sure I watched all of.
No, where you go like, wow, I love this. And then you sort of wander away, get distracted.
Yeah, and you come back and go, oh, there were 18 more seasons after I stopped watching.
Exactly, yeah. I did that
with... American TV, though. It's
an avalanche.
I mean, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I love it, but...
It's up to 17 seasons.
So many. I will never watch them.
It's apologies, Hillary. You sent us some Black Friday American tat, but it has not loaded or attached properly. God, I hate using the trouble with this Gmail app is that it's done that thing where it's like, you know what people like, Phil? Swiping instead of clicking. And what that means is if I'm just trying to scroll up and down at anything other than a perfect 90-degree vertical angle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it turns
out. Because you want to read this email. And you're like, no, I don't.
Oh, you want to delete this email?
I want it to fly away. We can archive it for you. Like, please leave me alone. Let's go back to...
Archive? I've only just turned archive off on my phone mail. I was like, why would I ever want to keep these like little trophies? Oh, I don't want to deal with this email now, but oh, I can't bear to get rid of it. I'll put it in my archive of favorite emails.
I'll sit by the fire and read through my favorites.
Oh, look at this one. It's from Lululemon, asking if I can update my privacy settings. Oh, I remember those days.
Oh, this is some bad tat, Phil.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Oh, should I say the tat first?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, am I gonna guess? Do I guess how it ends? Maybe not.
So Rosie just says, this is some amazingly lame tat from Instagram. She says, I've been listening to the back catalogue as well as more recent ones, so I'm not sure when you discuss the poor literacy of food advertising, like eat delicious,
yeah.
We do food. But this is a sort of a combination of that and tat. In this house, right? It starts and it's in the Disney font.
Is this a sign? Yeah, in this house stuff is always like...
But wait, you strap in.
Okay.
It's crucial for you to realize it's in the Disney font.
Okay.
In this house, we let it go. Because Hakuna Matata and the bare necessities
no.
will always be our guide to infinity and beyond. All you need is faith and trust and a little bit of pixie dust while we just keep swimming and we whistle while we work. We believe in happy endings because in this house, we do Disney.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that disgusting? And every film quote is in the font of that film release
poster. Oh, my
poster.
Days. And the Disney at the bottom is in the Disney corporate font.
Yes.
Oh, my.
What's happy endings from?
Happy endings.
Did Disney do a film set in a massage parlor?
Yeah, I think it was Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar. It was 3D. Yeah. The animation on the jizz was astonishing.
It's amazing. It took weeks.
Eight, they, 800 they, Koreans.
They animated each individual sperm.
If you buy the Blu-ray, you can zoom in. It's one of the bonus features on the Blu-ray of Happy Endings.
Bonus feature, also another thing to call Happy Endings.
The poster for Happy Endings by Pixar is someone wanking off an elderly white guy, but they've got their eyebrow raised.
Kind of
sassy 3D character way.
A beautiful soundtrack by Randy Newman.
Incredible, yeah.
I got my dick in your hand. Bloop de bloop blue. I'm gonna come in your chest. Bloop a doop.
I've got my dick in your hand, open brackets, and my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
In your hands.
Yeah.
Beautiful. They played it at the opening of the Grammys, I think. Amazing that he's not dead yet.
Yeah, he's incredible. I just started listening to his back catalog. His first album is like is 1967 or something? 1968.
Craziness.
Yeah, that's
absolute
his first
craziness.
Professional album. He's so old.
He's so old.
He's very good, though.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Have you listened to his album, Good Old Boys?
No.
He's in character the whole album as a redneck hick who is racist and regressive and sexist.
Oh,
but he still sings as Randy in the Randy Newman voice, and the songs are all beautiful. But it's all from the perspective of this hick.
Oh, that's great!
It's really good.
Okay, I'll check that out.
It's really interesting.
We have a long and anonymous email.
Ooh,
I've skipped ahead, and it says it ends with anonymous for obvious reasons. So.
Okay, well let's see what these reasons are, and just how obvious they are.
Yeah, hi Podbuds. I heard about your podcast, I think, while listening to Phil on Richard Osman's Birthday Game podcast.
Oh, nice.
And I had just had rave reviews about Pierre's supporting slot in the Frank Skinner tour.
Yeah.
I had to give away my tickets as I was recovering from an op. Sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I decided to give the podcast a go, and I'm listening to the early episodes as well as the recent ones.
Pretty wise not to have gone following an op, because they would have split your sides, Anon. They would have split them back open again.
I had no idea how much of it would be about poo. But it's always been a subject close to my heart and my bum bum.
Great.
So I enjoyed.
It's close to your heart. That's not good.
Yeah, don't let that. That's a misdirection. So I enjoyed hearing Fern's poo story and also enjoyed the info from the person with the colostomy bag. Yes, it was good. I have several embarrassing poo stories, but one so excruciating that only two people in the world know about it. And that's only because they were there at the time. About 9 years ago. 9 years ago now. My friend, my sister, and I went for a weekend away. 9 years. Staying in a nice hotel with a swanky rooftop bar.
Swanky.
My sister and I were sharing a double room. At the time, there was a bug going around my workplace. The reported symptoms being a terrible upset stomach. Open brackets. Poo-poos.
Poo-poos.
Close brackets. But thankfully, I hadn't been affected. We went away on the Saturday and had a fabulous night in the swanky rooftop bar. And I admit that I enjoyed it so much, I can barely remember the last hour or two of the evening. Although I can't recall it. My sister and I returned to our room and went to bed. I awoke in the middle of the night with terrible stomach cramps. I believed it to be the onset of the work sick bug. I got up to go to the loo, because I was drunk, I thought I was still at home. So I took the route from the bed to where the bathroom would be at home.
Great.
Regrettably, this took me outside the hotel room and into the corridor.
It's like a broken sim.
Yeah. Wabba-dooba. And the door slammed shut behind me. I stood in the corridor in my pants and t-shirt.
And then the bug really kicked in. And unfortunately, I soiled myself.
Oh, in the corridor.
Yep. As the door shuts behind you. Click. Straight away. No That's mercy.
A symphony of disaster.
Terrible business. I soiled myself. I began knocking on the hotel room door for my sister to let me in, but she sleeps like the dead and didn't awake.
She sleeps like the dead.
The dead. By this point, the bug was out of control. Oh, and I was unsuccessfully trying to somehow contain everything, but it was all over my legs, my hands, the carpet, the hotel door.
Oh, no, he's just smearing it all.
Just going,
I'll hold it in. Oh, no, I'll try not to get the door open.
It would have looked, to an unsympathetic observer, it would have looked like someone just leaking water and poo and desperately trying to get it on as many things as possible before it runs out. Like a harvest. The hotel door, and despite my knocking waking other guests up, my sister continued to sleep.
Were other guests like poking their heads out going, what's going on? Oh!
Keep that shitting down! Oh my god! The poo fairy is here. The next thing I knew, hotel officials were approaching me as I stood half undressed and both covered in and surrounded by liquid poo.
Oh my god.
They began knocking.
Hotel officials as well.
Officials, yeah, little hats and badges.
And little earpieces.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a corridor poo.
We've got a visual.
We got a 734. They began knocking, and eventually my bewildered sister came to the door. She had no idea that I'd even got out of bed, so she was astonished to open the door to a shit-covered sister, a shit-smeared hallway, and two members of hotel security. I scurried straight into the room.
Oh, more like...
Oh, yes. I scurried straight into the room and got in the shower while my sister was frog-marched to the front desk in her pyjamas and threatened that she had to pay £100 on checkout to cover the cost of cleaning the carpet and walls.
Oh my god.
I woke up the next day feeling physically well, but terribly ashamed. The only further thing to add is that upon checking out later in the morning, the fine had increased from £100 to £200.
Oh no.
And although I lamely objected, I think they were taking advantage of my obvious embarrassment, knowing that I was unlikely to engage in a prolonged discussion, as I wanted to leave as quickly as possible.
Just loudly in the lobby. Look, I didn't shit that much
Look,
in the corridor.
There was liquid poo there, but not there, and I refuse to... Like do it, shouting at the person who has to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't deserve more than £100 for cleaning my shit up.
Look, who knows more about where I pooed? You or me? The person that pooed everywhere last night. Do you want me to tell other people
in the
about
hallway?
This?
And pointing at a guest who stuck his head out the door. He can tell you. He was there. He knows.
I'm going to write this in my review of the place. But I'll tell the whole story. Yeah, I guess that's not going to happen.
No. Anyhow, we did tell our other friend, who had a room on a different floor, as we knew she'd witness us paying the fine when we checked out. But nobody else has ever heard this story until now. Not even our husbands. We're in plus husband territory here, Phil.
Oh, so there's a Mr. Corridor Pooer.
I didn't even tell one of my... Is there a Mr. Corridor Pooer? Yes. Oh, okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, fair enough.
Good evening, madam.
Have a good evening, madam. Enjoy the poo. I didn't even tell one of my best friends who once shit herself in Lidl while taking her mum shopping. That's how embarrassed I was. That is embarrassed. I have many bowel issues and have had incidents before, okay, but this remains the worst due to the public humiliation of not just me, the poo perp, but also my sister, an innocent bystander. Keep up the good work, and none for obvious reasons, sent from my iPhone. So we know she's got an iPhone and a husband. Lucky lady.
Wow. Some women can have it all.
What a lucky lady. That's all we have time for. I have to go. I'm the going boy now.
Pierre's going. I'm just going to build myself a little nest in his home.
Yes, Phil's going to roost in here like a rare species of fruit bat.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm going to feed him. Slices of watermelon, apricots, peaches.
You have to turn the heat up.
I will have to turn the heat up, yeah. Yes, which will, ironically, will make the fruit, it'll spoil faster, it'll but you don't mind.
No. I'll eat a bit of spoiled fruit. I'm not picky.
No. We're still behind, but by God, we're getting there.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Thank you very much, listeners. Keep sending in your fine stories.
And the tat. Have a good week.
Have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.